is God's plan is the right plan. God's plan is the right plan. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's plan is the right plan for you. All right. So let's read a passage of scripture that I enjoy. And I mentioned the last verse, which I'll read to you as well. And this is the old living, if anyone's got a new, brand new, New Living Translation, this is the older version of that. When I, why do they do that? I don't know. They changed the translation, and a few years later, it's no longer the same. Anyway, just a little pastor thing. When I think of the wisdom, this is a verse, we got it, we got the scripture, thanks Donna. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, oh my goodness, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand. Excuse me. I went for a swim in the beach this morning. Salt water seems to be in my system at the moment. As all God's people should. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Then you'll be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, glory be to God. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
Does anyone believe in a limitless God this morning? And so let's seriously believe this today. Who knows that God can do greater than we can? And so that's what this is all saying this morning. And this is really interesting because this is a prayer of Paul, a prayer of his experience with God, a prayer he prays for the people of God, and a prayer Paul hopes that they will grasp with all their hearts. He's saying to the church, will you grasp how big and how great God is in your life? And so believers in Christ have at their disposal the most potent power. Is anyone glad they've got Jesus in their life today? The most incredible thing is living inside of us that brings supernatural ability beyond our ordinary ability. And so we have a Savior that is victorious. We have a Savior who is going to do things that we can't comprehend. We have a Savior that is bigger than our wildest dream. Oh, I thought you might like that one too. See, God's big. In fact, he's huge. He's ginormous. I'm not sure it's in the dictionary, but it's a big, he's big. So, Ephesians 3:16. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength. Who'd like some mighty inner strength today? Oh, come on, Lord. Through his Holy Spirit. See, the power is in his indwelling in your life. How you see God is so vital. Not just right now, but during our week. Not just when we're with other people at Connect Group, but when we're at work. How we see God is vital. Vital. And so you cannot be narrow-minded about your view of God. And this is what Paul is saying. Now, Paul's got good reason to be preaching this way, and we'll get to that. As we increase in our knowledge of God, we will be strengthened with all might. And so as we continue to read his word, as we continue to be in him, as we continue to spend time praying, and who knows that sometimes it's a discipline just trusting God. It's not, you don't always have like power moments. It's just going through the motions, but God sees. And the power starts to rise. And then, oh, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more. So you will be made mighty. Who'd like to be unmovable in God in 2020? I don't even know if that's a word, but hey, we've used it today. Unshakable in your faith through the love of God in your heart. That's what Paul's saying. And so in Ephesians 3:14, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. So let's talk about God's plan. There are things in this world that we need His help with. Would you agree? There's stuff going on in my life that I need His help with. There's stuff in my kids' life that I know that God needs to come through on. There's so many things that, if you're anything like me, and I'm sure you are, you've got some problems. Yep. Or am I the only one? No. So we've got problems. So we've got to actually, this is important for all of us. Because Paul's got his own problems, but he's still speaking this way. You see, you can go it alone, and I'm thinking that's still pretty early in the year, or we can go with God into 2020. So let's decide today, if we haven't already, let's go with God. Let's submit everything. Let's start our morning, thank you, Jesus. Let's finish our day, thank you, Lord, for today, even if it's been a not such a good day. Lord, thank you, Lord, that I've still got you in my life. And that way, we can give Him every opportunity to bring power into our world. And so, what do you do when you're facing challenges and you're not sure how it's going to turn out? Who has some of those? You've got challenges and you're not sure how they're going to turn out. Can I say that you have to pray for the result that you desire? You have to pray for what? The result that you desire. There's other scriptures about that, you know, our heart. God gives us the things of our heart, what the desires of our heart. You see, I want to give you a little story that Andrew's allowed me to share with you about Andrew and I that's happened last year. Andrew and I made a decision probably a few years ago that we would move houses. And as you would know, that the Perth housing market has dropped quite a lot in the last decade. And those of you who own property, you'd know that. And so we'd built a house not far from where the Fremantle Church. And we knew that if we put the house on the market, it was likely that we wouldn't get the amount of what we paid for it. Because simply things are just not that good out there. And we wanted to be realistic. And so we just felt that it was time to kind of like downsize our house, although some of the young adults have been to our house and they don't think we've downsized. But anyhow, that's another point. Who knows that God can do more than we ask or imagine? And so this story gets, let me share a little bit. So we decided, no, we're going to do this together. We're going to put the house on the market. We know it's not going to, but we thought we'd get a certain amount. Anyhow, we got one of those gun salesmen. You know, the ones that you think they're going to sell it like that. Anyway, and he knew the price I wanted. And so who knows, the salesmen are very good like that. And very good. And so it goes to Mark. We'd actually come back. I can't remember where we'd been. We'd been on a trip. I think it was to Geraldton or somewhere. And we're on the way home and he goes, Nigel, I've got you an offer. In fact, I've got you four offers on your house. And I said, well, that's great. He goes, the thing is, they're all exactly the same amount of money. I said, you're kidding me. All four offers are exactly the same. He goes, yes, all four offers are exactly the same. I said, okay, will any of them budge? He goes, I don't think so, but let's give it a try. Something else was going on in the background that I just haven't told you yet. Andrew and I had been praying that we would be able to stay in our house that we were now selling for another 12 months, and that as part of the offer and acceptance of our house, we would be able to stay in our house that would be sold for another year, totally rent-free. And so we had petitioned God. And so we had asked God. And so we actually went back to the agent and said, is anyone looking like interest, really interested in your house? He goes, yeah, there's this young guy. And he's a FIFO worker. He's up north somewhere. And he seems to have other houses and property. I says, he's the one. Let's focus on him. Can you get him to come up a little bit more? And he came up a piddly a little amount more. That wasn't what I was expecting or Andrew was expecting. And then I said to the agent, this is what I'd like you to do. And if it, because we'd actually been praying about that, what I just said. We want to actually have 12-month rent-free period. And so I actually said to the agent, I want you to write into the offer and acceptance. We'll accept his offer, which is lower than what we wanted. However, we'll accept it if we have written into the offer and acceptance, and we'll sign it and he'll sign it, the saying that we'll have 12 months rent-free. And then I got a bit cheeky. And I says, and at the end of the 12 months, I don't want to have any contractual agreements. No, is it structurally sound? No white ants, nothing. Just he moves in, we move out. And he looks at me and he goes, I've never done that before. And he actually goes, I've never written it into the offer and acceptance before. It's always been a side agreement. I says, no, I want you to write it into the offer and acceptance. Well, the young guy goes, yep, and we did it. And we actually were able to stay in our house, which wasn't our house, for another 12 months. And then at the end of that 12 months, our house, it looked like it wasn't going to be built. Who knows, you've got to go to prayer on some of this stuff over and over again. And it was like last minute. And then the young guy, fortunately, he went back up north for his stint. And we were able to move out while he was up north. And everything went, no extra payments, no rent started to be paid. God's amazing. Yeah, come on, give him a hand. And so we can underestimate what God can do for us. Would you agree? It's our human nature. And I want to say this morning that God wants to astound you. Ephesians 3:14, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, with God's plan, we are going to make it. When you submit your plans, like Andrew and I did, to the Lord, who knows that sometimes when you're actually praying about things, he gives you these audacious type prayers that you think, well, I don't know if that's possible, but why not? Do you think that's where God wants to take us as a church? Isn't that his people? And at least then we wouldn't be wandering around the wilderness for 40 years, right? Because we've actually got a bit of faith on the inside and a bit of backbone. We're going to make it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are going to make it in God. Now, what is really remarkable about this passage is that when Paul says at the beginning of Ephesians 3, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, he's writing this, he's a prisoner. He's under guard. I was listening to a message from Pastor Phil Pringle, who you saw on the video just then, a few weeks back, and he was saying that he did some research, they had to change guards every 4 hours because Paul was getting saved all the Roman guards. And so that every 4 hours there was this rotation of guards, they're keep getting saved, another lot come in. I mean, what an incredible amount of faith on the inside. He's already in prison. Instead of being, oh, why am I doing it here? Isn't God doing anything? He's actually gone a whole nother level. Who'd like to be that kind of a man or woman? Can I say to us today, church, God's got you. All we need to do is get on board with what he's doing. And it may not look like at times like he's with you, but he is. And so Paul is saying that no matter your circumstances, stick with him. He's got you. Paul says, I fall to my knees. The ultimate aim of prayer is obedience to God's will in your life. And Paul is celebrating, although we may be in prison, He has been able to bring a common Savior, not just to the Jews, but the Gentiles also. And amidst Paul's adversity, he's able to live at a higher level. And I'm believing that for every one of us here at C3 Wellard. He's the same Jesus for your world today that was in Paul's world back then. And so no matter what circumstances you're facing, like Paul, Jesus has the right plan for your life. So can we start this year, if we haven't already? Start your year on your knees. And it may not be literally, but start giving things to the Lord rather than finishing your year on your knees because you're discouraged. I know which one I'd rather do. And so invite Jesus into your world. Set aside time to pray over your year ahead. Big decisions in our life require a knowing. God does not live in isolation. He lives in community. Isn't it great that we can get together and not be on our own? And you and I are at our best when we live in community. We had a really nice weekend, actually, more than I would normally do because I'm the introvert. Andrea is the extrovert in our relationship. And so we had young adults over on, was that Friday night? Friday night. And then last night we had a Connect group catch up down at I run a Connect group. Well, I'm hoping to pass it on, but at the moment I'm still running it. And down at Coogee, and we had a great time there. Now I'm at church this morning. It's a good life. It's community, and it helps our faith. And so I want to just say that, just in case you haven't got it yet, hell is isolation. Heaven is community. And so God wants to communicate with you. His plan is always the best plan. His plan is always the best plan. And so the prayer Paul is praying through these verses is not a prayer asking God to give him stuff. Who knows that God will give us stuff? Yeah. However, the main thing is that we're doing the right thing by the Lord so that he can answer all our requests, because we're not just asking for stuff, we have a real relationship with him. And so then the stuff comes anyhow. You hearing me? All right, so it is rather you hearing what God has for you to do. Oh Lord, this year, this can be your prayer. Every one of us should be praying this. What is it that you have for me to do this year, Lord? You know I'm, as in Kathy's case, I'm running youth this year. You know that Lord, I'm over music this year, Crystal is. You know, Lord God, that there are areas of my life. Lord, I'm praying. What is it that you specifically have for me? It may just be to be an encourager to someone in your connect group. But whatever it is, can we do it with all that we have? And so, let's get into the habit of hearing God's voice. You know, I can be walking around sometimes and just... I tend to walk around when I pray. It's just, I was brought up in an old school Pentecostal church. Before that, I was in the Church of Christ, and I was all Bible. And so now we've got both, which is great. And you know, I walk up and down sometimes. And I'm just praying. And I've got who knows that your mind always goes to the negative stuff? And that's why first you've always got to give thanks to God when you pray. Because otherwise you get bogged down and you don't want to pray anymore. Give him thanks. And then what happens normally is I just get a little sense. Now he doesn't actually literally speak to me. But I know that everything's going to be all right. Are you like me that sometimes you're overwhelmed with problems and challenges? But when I hear his voice, it makes all the difference in the world. It's going to be okay, Nigel. And the problem may still be there. But God has it covered. And at some point in the future, he's going to annihilate that thing.
And so we do have to open our heart up to him. And this is part of our going to be part of our vision for 2020, which I'll describe in a few weeks' time. God delays in speaking to us simply because he wants to spend some time with us. And that's when we get the answers, after we spend some time with him. What you put in, you get out. Put in, get out. It's just basic Christianity, I guess. You can't have a two-way conversation without spending time with a person, can you? It's the same with God. A marriage to last, you have to spend some time communicating. It's the same with our Lord. Not hoping he's there. Not guessing he's there. You know. You really know. Because you've built up. You've accumulated. Because you've been with him. So let me, I've got another part to our house story. Would you like to hear it? So many of you will know that the banks during this period of time last year and before that a little bit, but we got caught up in the whole Royal Commission thing when we were trying to refinance. And Andrew and I went to our bank representatives, as you do, and we had a bank relationship manager. And she rang me one day. I think she sent me an email too. Anyway, she rang me one day and she said, Nigel, how much is your rent going to be? Because I see your house is sold. And I said, nothing. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, we're not paying any rent. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, haven't you got in front of you? She said, no, I don't have that piece of information. I says, let me send it to you. So I sent her the offer and acceptance. And it's described clearly, zero rent for 12 months. I sent it to her and she goes, oh, that's fantastic. I think I can get this done for you. Because who knows, with the Royal Commission, you're no longer allowed to loan what you used to be able to loan. And so there's this thing happening underneath that really Andrew and I were not that smart in that area, but it was interesting how God was working on our behalf simply because we'd given it to him. And then it was my wife and I's daughter's wedding, and it got a little complicated. Let's just say we ended up paying for quite a lot of the wedding, and it was at a winery at McLaren Vale in South Australia. And because we got the rent-free period, and because the banks saw favourably that we didn't have to pay rent, we got the amount that we needed to pay for the wedding. Who knows that God can look after the things that are just like even the littlest things in your life, he's got you. God had it covered. As we just kept stepping out and kept giving it to him. Kept stepping out, kept giving it to him. God knows all the stuff that's going on in your world before even you do sometimes. And so God's interested in the finer details of our lives. So I want to ask you, what plans can you submit to the Lord this year? And I want to ask you one more thing. And this is going to be part of our vision for 2020. I asked the staff this during the week. I says, what's your big audacious goal? What's your big prayer for 2020? One of the young ladies, I think she's only about 22, she says, I'd love to own our own home. They just got married recently. I said, that's fantastic. Who knows? And maybe there's something that you think's too hard. Why don't you see what God wants for your life? And then get a bit of a resonation on the inside. You know what? I'm going to start praying for that. Can we do that, church? Yeah. Big, audacious prayers. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you, right? If he can do it for Andrew, if he can do it, you know, my son's got another testimony that he shared at, I believe, at Fremantle last week. God's amazing if we give him the opportunity. Secondly, so God's plan is the right plan for you, yes? I think we've got it.
Secondly, at home in you. Say it with me, at home in you. Ephesians 3:17. This is where I get this from. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your love today. Oh, Lord, I thank you that even though I mess up all the time, you've still got me. Incredible, Lord. So I want to ask, what are your foundations? What are your roots in? It's interesting to me that in the story of David and Goliath, that Jesse, his father, had completely forgotten about David. Now, David's sure he's probably a scrawny little guy, 16, 17 years old. But there was one thing that they had not recognized. And, you know, Eliab, the older brother, was stirring him up when he went there with some food one day and saying, what are you doing talking about? This is men's stuff. Stay out of it. And David said, no, this guy is coming against the Lord God of Israel. You see, what I'm getting at here is David had some experience with his God. He'd been out in the fields and he'd been walking and talking with God. And we know from the Bible, when the bear came, what did he do? Got rid of it. He knew how to handle things because God was with him. And so I would like to think that we don't just pass on the buck to someone else or to even to the pastor or the connect group, but inside of each and every one of us, we rise up and we know that God can do things that we don't think are possible. And so David, when he actually said, who are these uncircumcised Philistines? In other words, they're not godly. I have God on my side. And so I thank you, Lord, that today I'm going to take down this giant. Yeah. And he tried to put on someone else's. Who knows? That's never a good idea. Never try and compare yourself with someone else. God likes you just the way you are. And as we become who we are and what we think we need to be, and believe me, I've made enough problems over the enough issues in this area myself for over years and years and years, trying to do what, copy that or do that. It's better to just be you. And anyway, so he takes all that off and he just gets his little sling and he gets that rock and the first hit, because who knows, the Holy Spirit's straight into the middle of the head. Chainsaw comes out. Off with the head. Amazing. God's got stuff that you think are too big. There's too big a giant, but God's got it in hand. And so you may be like David, feel like the misfit of the family, but God's going to do something powerful with you. Because he had his plans. This is what Solomon, his son, said in Psalm 132. Thanks, Donna. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. In other words, David kept his eyes on the Lord. And he also wanted to do everything that was going to build the house of God. Find a place for God. We are so blessed that we have our own place to worship God in. We don't have to, it's not a rental facility. We are here. And I'm just believing that together with everyone else here, that we're going to see this place expand. And so there's things that we can pray about. And we're going to talk about that in the weeks ahead. Just to give you a bit of a heads up, we're going to start praying at 9:30 for 20 minutes each morning, Sunday morning, so that we've got some prayer behind what we're doing. And who knows that God can move in our life? Who knows that God can move in C3 Wellard? That the young people will grow. Kathy's got a really audacious prayer this year for our young people. We're going to see it grow and expand. Amen? So let's believe with her. And everyone that's got a vision
or leading something. Let's encourage them. And let's see what God will do. The music team, if you could please come, that'd be amazing as we finish off this morning. I want to say that there's remarkable stability when we have Christ in our heart. This is what Paul's referring to. I mean, you know, a lot of us would, I don't know, probably fall apart under the circumstances. The indwelling presence of Jesus in our lives will deepen our relationship and experience in who He is. Indwelling presence. His love is second to none. Paul's saying this from his prison cell. Lord, I'm holding on to you regardless. And we hang out together. We encourage one another. We build one another up in the faith. Who knows that one day I'm going to be down, you need to help me. One day you're going to be down, I need to help. That's the way it goes. Ephesians 3:19. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. No room for anything else. It is who you really are when things get messy. I'm strong, Lord. I'm stable. Thank you, Lord, for 2020. Thank you, Lord. And just to finish this whole passage off, it's amazing, this verse in 20. Verse 20. Now glory be to God. Can anyone give some glory to God today? Now glory be to God. By His mighty power at work within us, He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. Oh Lord, let's stand to our feet. Let's declare it this morning. Father God, I thank you for 2020. Lord, I thank you for a bigger lifestyle than I thought possible. Lord, I thank you for areas of my life. Lord, I know that your plan is the right plan for my life. Father, I determine today to hang on to you. Why don't we just lift our hands for a moment? Lord, I determine today that to allow your power to indwell in my life. And Lord, when I'm feeling like there's no power there, I'm just going to spend a few moments and reignite the flame. Father God, fire me up. Lord, I'm praying for fire from heaven today over this church in Jesus' name. Power of the living God. Oh, Lord God, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that today is a great day. We thank you, Lord, that tomorrow you're with us. We thank you, Lord, that in 2 weeks' time you're still with us. We thank you, Lord, that as we rise in the morning and give you our time, as we go to bed and thank you for what you have done in our life, we thank you, Lord, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we believe it today in Jesus' name. Lord, I seal this meeting in the power of the Holy Spirit and believe for great things to come. For each and every person in the mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen, amen. Amen. Let's sing to finish this.